Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the epistle lesson of the day found in James 5. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about? The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This is our text. Dear people of God, James wrote to people all over the world who were enduring persecution simply because they believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is the only Savior from sin. James wrote to encourage such people to keep going, hold on to the true faith, wait for the Lord patiently and with perseverance. We feel bad for those early believers. They were seen as weirdos. In a world where the whole population just assumed that there were hundreds of gods, and all of them worshipped, but none too seriously, came these Christians who believed that there was only one God, and that this one God was a God of three persons, one of whom came into this world and lived as a homeless man, and then at the height of his powers was killed by another group of people who were a despised people. The Christians' one God then supposedly also told these Christians that if they worshipped any other god, that they would spend eternity in hell. Those early Christians had a very strange religion. They stood out like sore thumbs among the people. They were harassed. They were laughed at. They were beaten. Their property was taken from them, and they were driven out of their homes. But I bet if they could see us, they would feel sorry for us too. We live in a time where the fastest growing religion is none. That's what people are claiming to be nowadays when it comes to religion. Nothing. No religion. We half jokingly call them the nuns. We live in a time that rivals even ancient Rome when it comes to pornography, sexual perversion, homosexuality, government corruption, greed, theft, fraud, not to mention gossip and nastiness. We live in the most wicked time ever seen on this earth. So it turns out we have a lot in common with the people of James' day. Now we in our land may not be physically persecuted like they were, but we know what it is to be laughed at. We know what it is to be seen as the weirdos. We are those who actually take the words of the Bible seriously. In a world of relativism, People look at us and they say, oh, they belong to the strict church. And when they say that, they're not giving you a compliment. You also need James' encouragement to wait for the Lord patiently. Now, James wrote, assuming that everyone who would read his letter, everyone who needed his encouragement, would already know about Jesus Christ. And how he came so miraculously. How he lived perfectly in our place. How he died innocently for our sins. And how he rose from the dead, winning our justification. For Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection is the reason why we can wait for the Lord patiently. For our Savior has come. We know that. We are not surprised on December 25th when the angels show up and say, the Son of David, the Christ, the Lord has been born. We know that. We base our whole lives on that fact. We base our lives on the fact that he already lived for us. God already considers us holy because of what Jesus has done. We know that he died, taking every one of our sins upon his back and paying their price in full. We know that he walked out of the grave on Easter morning to show each one of us what will happen to us, what's coming in our future. You know that. You know that your Savior and his salvation are yours. And that he is coming again to take you into his paradise. Wait for it patiently. Isn't that what we tell our children to? Be patient. Wait. No peeking. You know, they make these fake boxes now with bizarre things printed on them so you can hide your Christmas presents inside this box. So that if the kids go looking for it, what they'll see is cheese printer or cargo socks. Well, the real thing is hidden inside. Waiting is a virtue. James tells us to wait like the farmer. I've been impressed with farmers and their ability to wait in times of drought. They used to feel really bad for them and pray for rain. Till my neighbor Gordy told me, you know, it's rained before. It'll probably rain again. James says, be patient like the farmer. Farmers are not perfect people. But Luther said, no one's closer to the Lord than the farmer. Because the farmer has to rely on the Lord for everything. For the rain, for the crops, for the calves, for the kids. If the Lord withholds his blessings, the farmer is the first to know about it. And he ought also be the first to pray and to thank the Lord. Wait for the Lord with the farmer. Or as James also says, you too be patient and stand firm. Because the Lord's coming is near. He's coming. We've been saying that a long time. Wait for it. It's coming soon. But it remains true. For the Lord Jesus, in his infallible word, did not say, I'll be coming in some long distance future date. No, he said, I am coming soon. I'm on the way. He's just over the horizon. He's almost here. He's already saddled that cloud and he's coming right now. We just have to wait a little longer. Expect him at any moment. And yet James says, do it patiently. And James adds, no grumbling against each other while you wait. Jesus, this judge, is right at the door. Now we know that when the judge comes, he will judge us not according to our deeds. He will judge us according to our faith and according to his righteousness. But when the judge finally does walk through that door, we don't want him to hear us bickering with each other about coffee brands and carpet color. The world should hear us, but it should not hear us arguing with each other. The world should hear us proclaiming Christ, and they should see us lifting up his cross for their salvation also. Wait for the Lord's coming. Wait for it patiently. Wait for it decently. Wait for it joyfully. And with perseverance. To persevere is to keep going even after you have been beaten down. And we can do that because we have Jesus. Jesus gives our lives meaning. We are not just working at dead-end jobs, gathering a paycheck, and then surviving until the end. No, no. The Christian is serving the Lord with whatever we do. We're serving the Lord by providing for our families. We are letting our gospel light shine in everything that we say and in every work that we do. And as we draw near the end of life, we do not look backward with the regrets of the world, always wondering, what if? No, no, our lives, as we look back at them, we see as service to the Lord. And some of it went well. A lot of it didn't. A lot of it was failure. Fantastic failure. Flaming failure. And yet in Jesus Christ, all is forgiven. All that work that we regret, that we think about in the night, that weighs heavy on our heart, the Lord Jesus' blood has covered and has even sanctified, has made holy. And so the Father in heaven sees all of it as wonderful service done to his glory. And he is excited to finally welcome his dear people who have labored in the Lord, who have endured this world of sin and temptation, to come on home to him when he so decrees it. You have Christ to clean up your messes. You have Christ with his arms wide open, ready to receive you into his paradise. So keep going. Persevere. Like the prophets, James says. In Hebrews chapter 11, there's a whole list of things that those Old Testament prophets had to endure. See, the devil lashed out at those prophets because they were proclaiming Christ as Savior. And they had to endure awful things. And some of those things we know from Bible stories. We know about the lions. The prophets had to face the stones, the holes in the ground some of them were thrown into. But there's other things in that Hebrew 11 list that we don't know about. Stories we don't know, like chains and floggings and being sawn in two. I don't think I want to know what story that is. Or what prophet had to endure that? But the prophets kept their eyes on Jesus. They knew that he was coming and they proclaimed it. And so they were able to endure all of that stuff. Because what happens to this body and this life, it doesn't matter. I have Christ. And so I have salvation. James then tells us to look at Job. Many of you have suffered, but none of you have suffered like Job suffered. And the thing is, Job didn't do it perfectly. When you read the book of Job, he complained. He doubted the Lord. But he made it through with his faith intact. Job, too, was covered in the blood of Christ. And so he was considered worthy, not only of salvation, but by praise in Scripture. Being faithful. That's what this is all about. Being faithful to the Lord until the end, with our faith intact. Never falling to the level of saying, well, this isn't worth it. I don't have time for this Jesus and the Bible stuff. I'm going to do it on my own. After what the Lord has already done for us, how could a person possibly say, I don't need you anymore, God? No, James encourages you. Hold on. Keep on going in the true faith. Your work, whatever your work is for the Lord. And your work in the Lord is never in vain. Now, we don't see the results. We're too close to it. It's very hard to see. But the Lord knows. And He will reward. Yearn for your Savior to come. Keep going. Work until that glorious day. Amen.